Today, how a group of amateur investors wrought havoc on Wall Street.
So my name is Desmond Delaney. I am 25 years old. And I guess some, for background, I always somewhat self-describe myself as the investing nerd. You know, when I was in, you know, high school, and I stopped growing at 5'11 and realized I couldn't be LeBron James, the next goal was to be Warren Buffett.
Desmond Delaney is a real estate agent from New York, but he's also one of millions of people who posts on a Reddit message board called Wall Street Bets. It's where users share investment tips. And in 2019, Desmond posted one of his own.
An investment tip is a nice way of putting a poorly founded thesis.
Desmond was interested in a business called GameStop, a troubled chain of stores in America that sells video games. Desmond thought elements of the business showed potential, but a lot of other users disagreed.
The sentiment was not positive, and the reception was anything but warm when I initially posted the article.
But now, just over a year later, GameStop is all anyone can talk about on Wall Street Bets. So many users have bought shares in the company that last week it was temporarily valued at $25 billion, sparking a frenzy on Wall Street and coming close to bringing down established hedge funds. Desmond missed out. He sold his GameStop shares at the beginning of 2020. How much could you have made if you'd kept them?
Well, my friends have an active tracker of how much money Desmond has lost by not holding onto GameStop. Given the information available at the time, this was an anomalous outcome, right? Like a year ago, I don't think anyone would have said, buy GameStop, this community is going to squeeze shorts in a year from now, right? I don't think anyone in the world would have had that thesis. And so that's a long way of me trying to justify what is now the answer to your question, which was, I think I would have had, call it, a little over 500,000 in GameStop shares.
Oh. From The Guardian, I'm Rachel Humphreys. Today in Focus, the GameStop gold rush when Redditors took on Wall Street. Dan Davies, you're a former regulatory economist with the Bank of England. When did you first notice that something odd was happening to shares in the company GameStop?
It was about the start of last week, and the price by then had gone up by something like 200 or 300%. And people were obviously looking around for why, and it seemed that it was the subject of all of this conversation on a Reddit forum called Wall Street Bets. And all of these guys seem to be concerting their action in this one stop. And the strange thing is that a normal trader, when they're buying something, will try to minimize their price impact because they don't want to drive the price against themselves with their own trades. And these guys wanted to maximize the price impact. They just wanted to drive the share price up as high as they could, seemingly for the fun of doing so.
Desmond, you've been part of the Wall Street Bets community for a while now. What is it like there?
I'd say the characters are a bit rough around the edges. The jargon that's being thrown around is somewhat abrasive. But I think for better or for worse, it's a community of people who either A, like investing like myself and kind of just enjoy seeing others make posts or comments about things that they're seeing. I think there's a group who I'd imagine is the larger who's in it to make money. So may have no formal introduction to finance and investing, but may have been told that, you know, a friend made a lot of money with playing an option and is now looking to replicate that themselves. What's popular about the platform is it's known for a lot of highly speculative bets. I like to think of it as somewhat intellectual gambling. And they do it with very large dollar quantities. So plays that have a very low likelihood of paying anything out and having any value, you know, call it 2 weeks in the future, but putting $5,000 in it. But I think there's also this large subset of people who I wouldn't necessarily call institutional, but it may be, you know, friends of mine who are bankers or friends in private equity who actually work in what we would call institutional functions, but kind of use this as a guilty pleasure. So they'll peek in and see what people are gambling about. They'll kind of laugh at, you know, the jargon, but they themselves won't post and thus aren't captured in what people think of when they think of the community. So I think it's a very wide-ranging scope of some with no finance background, some with institutional background who just don't post, and then those who are obviously in it for the gambling and the wild, you know, adrenaline-moving plays.
Dan, Desmond has described how Wall Street Bets users have varying degrees of investment experience, but how are they actually buying shares?
All sorts of ways. Robinhood, the app, seems to be the one that's attracted the most kind of coverage.
A new kind of investor is changing things up with an app that's changing the way we do money.
There's a couple of other brokerages which charge zero fees and which seem to be encouraging people into high margin levered products that give you a lot of kind of almost betting action. I mean, you know, they refer to it as gamification. They've got a very slick interface that makes the whole thing feel a bit like a video game, but it's clear that it's really appealing to the gambling instinct.
Why was it that Wall Street Bets users started focusing their interest on GameStop?
It's hard to tell. There were two or three people on that forum making a case for it as a fundamental investment.
Digital risks seem to me to be overblown. The negative sentiment is overdone and the value is overlooked.
It, to my mind, didn't read particularly convincingly as a fundamental case for something.
This is my thesis. You're welcome to tear it to shreds. Feel free. I encourage you to, please.
But there was also the kind of sensation that they were taking on the big firms in Wall Street because GameStop was one of the most heavily shorted stocks on the NASDAQ exchange. There were a whole load of hedge funds on the other side that were basically looking at it saying, sells video games in shopping malls during a pandemic. Business model is probably in trouble. And in the case of GameStop, it was something like 140% of the company was sold short.
Right. And this is the other side of this, isn't it, Dan? On the one hand, you've got these Reddit users investing heavily in GameStop shares. And on the other, you've got hedge funds who are shorting the company, which, as I understand, means they are essentially betting that the share price will fall. Can you explain in a bit more detail how shorting actually works?
So the mechanics of a short sale are that if, say, some pension fund has got a load of GameStop shares hanging round that they've not really got any view on, I will say, can I borrow that share? And there's a system that lets me do that. And I'll sell it in the market for cash at today's price, which might, back in kind of November, December of last year, been something like $20. I've then got that $20 cash, and my anticipation is that in 3 months' time, when the pension fund asks me to return the share that I borrowed, I can just go out in the market and buy it for a lower price, keeping the difference between the two as my profit. The trouble then happens when some people have pushed the price up to $400 because the pension fund I borrowed it from doesn't care about the price. They just want their share back. So I actually have to go out into the market and pay $400 to return the share, which is how you lose a hell of a lot of money selling shares short.
Okay, so the number of Reddit users investing in GameStop shares meant they began to shoot up in price. At the start of January, the share price was $19. By January the 13th, that had doubled. Some of the Wall Street Bet users who'd been talking about GameStop for months were elated.
Oh, I need another drink. That's a good looking chart. That's a good looking chart.
Wall Street insiders were left baffled.
So I've let it be. I've let the stock go, climb. Not so much, but I can't take it anymore.
Here's a GameStop now. 123 and change, another record high. Up more than 450% to start the year.
I've been on Wall Street for over 20 years, and I cannot think of anything that I've seen that is nearly as insane as what's going on with GameStop right now.
And by last week, the share price went up to $483, leading to Elon Musk tweeting, "GameStonk," and driving more people to the Wall Street Bets Reddit.
Social media average Joes versus big money players. And guess what? The army of average Joes are winning so far, at least for now. But the question is, for how long?
The video game retailer has soared about 800% in the last week.
Dan, how was it that these amateur investors were able to make such a big impact?
These guys were individually small investors, but they were quite a lot of them. Also, small investor here is in the sense of an American middle-class guy with a brokerage account. Lots of them had tens of thousands, five figures of US dollars to invest.
I mean, well, what did this all mean for those hedge funds that had put all that money into betting the share price would fall?
When the share price starts to move against you on a stock short position, people get very worried from a risk management point of view. Because if you've bought it long at $20, the worst that can happen is it can go to zero and you've lost 100% of your money. If you've sold it short at $20 and it goes to $400, then the maths of the thing are that you have lost 20 times your original position. As the share price moved up, hedge funds started giving up. When they gave up, they had to buy back in the shares. So that's more buying pressure, pushing the stock up. And so you've got this small shopping mall video games company that had a market valuation of about $1 or $2 billion before people started playing around in it. And it's suddenly a $25 billion company, you know, which is big.
What impact did this have on those hedge funds that had shorted GameStop shares? What happened to them?
The hedge fund that seems to have lost the most, or that has lost the most out of the ones where the losses have been publicly discussed, was a fund called Melvin Capital.
Melvin Capital is now out of the stock. They got out of the stock, from what I understand, yesterday afternoon. I just got off the telephone with Gabriel Plotkin, who runs that firm. They have taken a rather huge loss.
And it looks like their total losses, top to bottom in this, are 50% of the fund.
I mean, how much is that in monetary terms?
It's a few billions of US dollars.
While some hedge funds were hemorrhaging cash, the Redditors who'd invested in GameStop were jubilant.
Cheers, everybody! Cheers! Welcome! Happy Friday! I hope y'all had a nice-ass week! What a crazy day, a crazy week. Welcome, everybody. Bumping tonight. Let's get after it on a Friday night. You know, let's go!
They were absolutely overjoyed. You then got quite a lot of sort of what I would call faux populism in there, where you had people who were just rejoicing in beating up the hedge funds for its own sake. Because, you know, hedge funds are not popular institutions. A lot of them are run by slightly prickly guys who are never shy about showing off when they've had a success. And there seemed to be quite a lot of schadenfreude in terms of having given them a bloody nose. There were also people on that forum who were somewhat exaggerating their own power, having done this in manipulating one not particularly important share and believing that they could go on to destroy the whole of Wall Street.
How did Wall Street react to the sudden jump in GameStop shares?
Wall Street didn't quite react to it. It's just that automatic processes kicked in, and the operation of those automatic processes looked a lot like Wall Street changing the rules to retaliate against Wall Street Bets. They hadn't necessarily considered that when you start shoving around companies to values of around $20 billion, then you're suddenly playing in the big leagues and all sorts of things start becoming relevant to you.
And last Thursday, the Robinhood app temporarily stopped users trading GameStop shares.
Now, all of a sudden, you have Robinhood saying, yeah, maybe this is getting a little bit too much out of hand, so we're going to restrict some of the trading, only letting people close out positions.
Why?
So these retail brokerages, the Robinhoods, Webulls, and similar apps, have to post cash with the exchanges to cover the possibility that some of their trades are going to fail or that some of their customers aren't going to be good on their accounts. Obviously, when you've suddenly got huge numbers of customers on one direction in an incredibly volatile stock, suddenly that collateral requirement gets multiplied up.
We have to be prudent and we have to have a prudent risk management. And that's what the firm did.
And I think I saw that the chief executive of Robinhood was saying that he'd received a demand for $3 billion cash from one of his clearing companies. Not only is it pretty difficult to get $3 billion cash at short notice, and they managed to do that, but you don't necessarily then want to shape your entire business around meeting the cash calls generated by customers who are paying you precisely zero commission. So what the brokerages did, in my view, entirely predictably, was they put a hold on the kinds of orders that they were prepared to accept in GameStop and in a couple of the other most popular names on the Wall Street Bets Reddit.
Some of the Wall Street Bets Reddit users felt like they were being unfairly targeted in all of this. What did you make of that?
I can see why they thought that. I don't think it's right, but I think they ought to be blaming the people who led them into making massive leveraged bets in a market that they didn't understand. A lot of trouble had been taken by the platforms to conceal all the difficult little mechanics of making financial trades, which is possible to do when you are dealing with small amounts and when those small accounts are broadly, you've got one buy order for every sell order. When you've got nothing but buy orders piling up on your brokerage platform, then you become quite exposed yourself.
Dan, why do you think this has happened now?
Bored bros sitting at home with spare money, basically. You know, what you've got in America is a class of people who have professional jobs that can be done from home. Their income in their households hasn't really declined all that much during the pandemic. Their consumption spending has gone through the floor because of the pandemic, and they are therefore piling up a whole load of spare money in their savings accounts, which doesn't necessarily feel all that real. And as much as a year ago, some people that I've spoke to, particularly a guy called Paul Marshall, who's one of the legends of the British hedge fund world, identified that this sort of mad money savings was going into the stock market and was doing some weird things when it piled up on one side. So this is actually, to an extent, something that's been brewing for at least a year now. Just looking in historical perspective, though, the original tulip mania in the Netherlands happened during an outbreak of bubonic plague in the town of Haarlem.
What was tulip mania?
Tulip mania was regarded by some historians as the first financial bubble there's ever been. But basically, you got to a situation where people were buying and selling rare tulip bulbs for the price of a house in the Netherlands in the 17th century.
Wow.
There is disagreement among historians about the extent to which these contracts were ever actually executed, or the extent to which it was just literally bored people playing games in taverns because they couldn't do anything else because they were merchants and trade had ceased during the plague outbreak. But there's always been this kind of relationship between pandemics, people being stuck, unable to carry out their normal business or their normal lifestyles, and beginning to get a little bit of gambling fever, which often translates itself into financial markets. So I think that's really what we've seen in Wall Street Bets, in GameStop, and in a few stocks over the last 12 months, is really that they've just been turned into a source of entertainment rather than a capital market.
I wonder if the language in a 17th century Dutch tavern was any better than in the Wall Street Bets Reddit thread.
Yeah.
Coming up, what next for Wall Street and the Reddit investors as the value of GameStop shares plummet? Dan, as we record on Wednesday, GameStop share price is plummeting. Those who cashed out last week have made big money. But there were lots of users on Wall Street Bets encouraging people to hold the line. For those who bought in late and are still holding on to their investments, what does this all mean for them now?
It means, I think, and this is not investment advice because there can always be another act in these stories, but people who bought towards the end of last week have lost quite a lot of their money and will continue to lose more the longer they hold on to this share.
GameStop shares continue to plunge in pre-market trading. Looking now at the Bloomberg, down more than 43%.
GameStop management is probably pleased to some extent to see this thing cooling off. The stock is off about 55% right now, back to $90 a share.
At some point, the share price is going to go back down to the kind of 18 to 20 range where it was trading before this whole thing blew up. That, to me, suggests that people on the Wall Street Bets forum who were encouraged to buy it at $300 and up might decide that, in fact, they haven't had as much fun as they were anticipating having, and they're likely to look around for someone to sue. So all of the people who've made money in this thing on the way up are going to end up having to set some aside for lawyers' fees. There's an interesting question of American securities law, whether just encouraging someone to go on an operation like this because you think it will be fun counts as illegal stock manipulation for US securities law purposes. But there will be lawsuits there. It also seems pretty clear that people are going to have a go at the retail brokerage platforms because lots of people think that the trading halts and the position limits that they put in were extremely unfair. And that means that people are going to take a whole look at the whole infrastructure of settlement and collateral that underpins the stock market. Personally, I think that's a good idea for unrelated reasons, but it seems that a lot of people want to understand why the brokerages ended up closing down their customers towards the end of last week.
It strikes me as really unfair that ordinary investors should be shut out from making money on the stock market. But what you're saying is that the problems lie with the platforms people were using and the way they were investing?
Yeah, it's a boring thing to say, but the best way for ordinary people to be participating in these markets is by buying index funds and paying the lowest fees possible. If you're trading single stocks on margin through an account that's made to look like a video game, then what you're doing is gambling, and the best place to do gambling is a racetrack or a bookmaker or something. If you're hanging around in the stock market gambling, then of course people will tolerate you because you generally lose money. But it's always going to be the case that gambling is not really what the market is for. And if the speculators reach a point at which they're interfering with the actual activity of the stock market, then personally, and this is probably my own background coming from having worked in this place, personally, I think it's reasonable that they're going to crack down on that.
Desmond, even though you sold your GameStop shares last year, what has it been like to watch this saga play out?
I think like everyone else, it's a very entertaining story. You have people whose lives were permanently changed for the better, whose financial circumstances are now much better than they were, you know, call it a month prior. And I love to see that they're doing things that are somewhat altruistic with these funds, right? So there's a story of someone who's made, you know, a fair amount of money on the GameStop trade and made the decision to buy and donate Nintendo Switches to a local hospital for children. I start with that part because I think that shouldn't be lost in what's going on, is that there are people who are doing very altruistic things with this money. Secondly, in terms of what I make of the scenario, I think there are a number of different storylines that are being captured, I think some of which reflect I'd say, broader anti-establishment sentiment that's, I would argue, was catalyzed by the COVID-19 pandemic, right, and the subsequent response. You have a time when markets, right, so I'll say S&P reached all-time highs, concurrently when people were out of work, where the unemployment rate had spiked. And so I think this disparity may have attributed to some people seeing this as an opportunity to, air quote, stick it to the man.
As someone who's worked in finance for years, what do you think we've learned from this story, Dan?
I think what we've learned, actually, is that the rage that people felt at the investment bankers and the hedge funds and the markets back in 2007-08, when they came close to destroying the world economy, hasn't gone away at all. Now, there's lots of these guys on the Wall Street Bets forum who clearly could not have been out of high school in 2007-2008, but they act and feel exactly like people did then. So it's interesting to me that it's been 10 years now since that financial crisis, and it's still very present in people's thinking.
Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Dan Davies and Desmond Delaney. They've both written about this story for The Guardian. Find their pieces at theguardian.com, where you can also read extensive coverage of this story and, most importantly, explainers from our brilliant business team. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Elizabeth Cassin and Toby Thomas. Sound design was by Axel Cacoutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. We'll be back tomorrow.